From WKAR's Studio S at Michigan State University, this is Current Sports.
What is up, beautiful people? You are now locked into WKAR's Current Sports. I'm your host, Al Martin. Happy, happy Monday. It is December 1-2. That's right, the 12th, 2016. I hope you guys had a great weekend, a safe weekend. We got a ton of snow, especially on Sunday, folks. I know a lot of schools are closed today. So I really hope that, especially for the kids out there in high school, I hope you guys are sitting back listening to Current Sports on this Monday afternoon. We're going to try and warm you up with the hot show today, as we will, of course, recap the weekend that was here in mid-Michigan sports and beyond. How about the Detroit Lions, winners of five straight games? I really can't believe I'm saying that. They are still holding down the top spot in the NFC North. They've got a two-game lead over the Minnesota Vikings and the Green Bay Packers. We will talk about how they've been able to do what they've done. All right, we've got also a plethora of great guests on today's show. We actually are going to have five voices a part of today's show. That includes our dear friend D.A. Jones, youth football coach for the Kappa Express in the Lansing Football League. We've got Kerryon Gordon, running back for the Lansing Warriors and 2015 D4 Lansing Football League Sports Player of the Year in the house. And also Latrell Jones, the 2016 Lansing Football League Sports Player of the Year, as that award was given out over the weekend. You don't want to miss that chat. Should be a fun one. Also, later on in the hour, going back to the Detroit Lions, we'll chat with Justin Rogers, Detroit Lions beat reporter for the Detroit News, and we'll get his take on the Honolulu Blue. And we will talk about Tom Izzo's MSU men's basketball team that got its third straight win over Tennessee Tech on Saturday. That and more. If you want to be a part of our airwaves, you know that number, 313. I'm about to give away my cell phone number, Isaac. I was about to say 313-530, dude. 517-355-WKR. 517-355-9527. Yeah, don't want to give away my cell phone number. I know you guys will probably be blowing me up throughout the entire day. Don't want that. Let's continue this train. Here are your Current Sports quick hit headliners. All right, and we start with the Detroit Lions as they topped the Chicago Bears yesterday afternoon at Ford Field. 20-17, the final. The Lions have now won five straight games, eight of the last nine. Matthew Stafford, he's been great this season, an MVP candidate for sure. Stafford ran for a go-ahead seven-yard touchdown with 3:17 remaining, and throwing two interceptions in the fourth quarter, he was able to overcome that, culminating with that go-ahead seven-yard TD. And he also had one INT that was returned for a score on the previous possession. He has a short memory, though, shook it off, and was able to put the Lions on top for good. Detroit has matched its longest winning streak since starting 5-0 back in 2011, and its best nine-game stretch since winning eight of the last nine games back in 1995. The Lions have given up 20 or fewer points in seven straight games in one season for the first time, dating all the way back to 1961. The NFC North leading Lions will hit the road to take on the New York Giants this upcoming Sunday. We'll have more chatter on the Honolulu Blue in just a moment. Don't go anywhere. This was pretty embarrassing yesterday. Playing without center Joel Embiid due to rest, the Philadelphia 76ers used balanced scoring to beat the Detroit Pistons, 97-79. That's just embarrassing, Pistons. Come on. Yeah, that took place last night. For their second consecutive road victory for the Sixers after going nearly a year without one. Marcus Morris scored 28 points, and Andre Drummond finished with 14 points and 14 rebounds for Detroit, which fell behind 32-12 in the first quarter and never led throughout the game's entirety. Robert Covington, who had 16 points, and Ersan Ilyasova, former Piston, he scored 15 to lead five players in double figures for Philly, which raced to a 25-point advantage in the first half. The announced attendance was a little over just 7,000, 7,244 to be exact. Sparse crowd. Aside from the Pistons facing the Eastern Conference's worst team in Philly, there was a major snowstorm, as I just stated, moving through Michigan. So the driving conditions were pretty poor, so not really surprised with that attendance there. The Pistons will play at Dallas on Wednesday. The Detroit Red Wings fell to the Philadelphia Flyers, so two Philly professional sports teams beat two Detroit professional sports teams on the same day. The Wings fell to the Flyers 1-0 in overtime. The win extends the Flyers' winning streak to 9 games, the longest since 1995. Jimmy Howard was making his first start since he injured his groin in New Jersey on November 25th. Howard had relieved Peter Mrazek against the Columbus Blue Jackets on Friday, so he did get some game work in then as well. The Wings welcome the Arizona Coyotes to the Joe tomorrow night. Aaron Harris led the way for the Michigan State men's basketball team as they picked up a 71-63 win over Tennessee Tech on Saturday afternoon. Harris had 20 points, going 5 of 11 from behind the arc. Now, Michigan State freshman center Nick Ward, who's been great this year, scored 10 points, bothered and blocked shots on the defensive end, and scored inside to help the Spartans, who are now 7-4, build a 58-44 lead with 11 minutes and 29 seconds remaining. Foul trouble limited him to 12 minutes. The injury-hampered Spartans play without two recent starters. Sophomore guard Matt McQuaid, who's out due to concussion symptoms, and freshman forward Miles Bridges, of course, out with the ankle, but had more than enough for Tennessee Tech. McQuaid should be back this week, and Bridges, who's 16.7 points per game average, leads the team, possibly could return very, very soon. It's being thrown out there that possibly he will be back before Big Ten play starts, so only time will tell. The second-ranked UCLA Bruins clamped down on defense in the second half to beat Michigan 102-84 on Saturday night in front of, 13,571 people, the first sellout at Pauley Pavilion in nearly 4 years. Celebrities galore at that one, folks. TJ Leaf scored 21 points. Fellow freshman Lonzo Ball added 19, and UCLA, which sits at 10-0 on the year, held the Wolverines to 34% shooting in the final 20 minutes after playing to a 50-all tie in the first half. Zach Irvin scored 18 points to lead the Wolverines, who sit at 7-3 on the year. They were limited to just 2 3-pointers in the second half. Michigan will host Central Arkansas on Tuesday, beginning a stretch of 3 consecutive home games to wrap up non-conference play. The MSU hockey team was swept by Minnesota on Friday and Saturday at Munice Arena, 4-2 the final in both games. The Spartans still have 3 games remaining this month, but only one before the holiday break. MSU plays Northeastern at 3 p.m. next Sunday at Munice Arena. It's return visit by Northeastern teams in hockey and men's and women's basketball after 3 Spartan teams played their Huskies counterparts in Boston last December, so they all will come to East Lansing this weekend on Sunday. The MSU football program announced its award winners at a team dinner on Sunday afternoon at the Kellogg Center. Senior wide receiver R.J. Shelton was selected as the team's most valuable player by his teammates. Senior captain Riley Bulla won a team best 5 awards, which include the Downtown Coaches Club Award for the most outstanding senior and defensive player, the Biggie Munn Award for the most inspirational defensive player, the Iron Man Award, strength and conditioning, Doug Weaver Oil Can Award, team humorist, and captain's award for the team captain. The Spartans saluted the 2016 senior class, which compiled a 39-14 record from 2013-16 to become the 4th most winningest class in school history. And last but not least, Michigan offensive coordinator Tim Drevno actually was a candidate for the vacant Florida Atlantic head coaching job. Sports Illustrated's Pete Thamel reported that news, but Alabama offensive coordinator Lane Kiffin got the job today. Drevno never has been a head coach, but is Jim Harbaugh's longest-serving assistant. He has worked on Harbaugh's staff every year but one since Harbaugh started out at San Diego back in 2004. He primarily has served as an offensive line coach and now is U of M's offensive coordinator. That wraps up your current sports quick hit headliners. If you want to be a part of today's airwaves, you know that number. 517-355-WKAR, 517-355-9527. You can weigh in via social media at Facebook.com/currentsports, where you can catch a live stream of the show right now. You can also even tweet us at Al Martin WKAR or at WKAR_sports. Let's start the show.
Him out of bounds. 27 yards, and it's coming. Wow. First and 20. Barkley throws it. Dort, and it is caught.
What a play.
Daniel Braverman, the seventh round rookie out of Western Michigan. Another flag is thrown.
Holding number 62.
Wow. Unbelievable.
Henry, still first down.
Barkley's pass up the middle is deflected. What's the call here? They say incomplete, and it will be a turnover on downs. Meantime, the Detroit Lions survive as they move to 8-1 in their last 9 games. They've won 5 straight.
Oh, that's a classic joint right there. Shout out to Run DMC. I always forget that they put out a few Christmas hits back in the 80s. One of the greatest rap groups of all time. Happy holidays, ladies and gents, boys and girls. I hope many of you out there aren't Grinches around this time of the year, because I love when you get that first big snowfall, because especially if it's around the holidays, because it just puts you in the holiday mood, puts you in the Christmas mood. So I'm definitely in the holiday spirit, folks. My favorite time of the year. I really hope it is for you as well. The time of giving, all right? Well, I tell you what, the Lions have not been in the mood for giving. They have taken away the holiday spirit of many teams this month. And I will say this, they've given Lions fans a reason to cheer. So I guess they have given someone something this holiday season. But, man, the Detroit Lions, gosh, are they fun to watch or what? I really can't believe that we're sitting here on December 12th talking about the Lions leading the NFC North. Remarkable stuff. And I mentioned in the headliners the historical implications of what took place against the Chicago Bears. The Lions are the only team in NFL history that have now come back to win the game in the fourth quarter 8 times in the season. No team has ever done that in the National Football League's history. remarkable. So you look at how everything stacks up now. And again, we're going to dive more in depth into the Detroit Lions when we invite Justin Rogers, beat writer for the Lions from the Detroit News. He'll be on the show around the 140 mark, and we're going to really get his thoughts on what the Detroit Lions have to do in order to pull out this division. Because as I mentioned, the Lions right now are two games ahead of the Minnesota Vikings and the Green Bay Packers, the two teams that realistically have a shot at challenging the Lions for that top spot. For me, not so much the Vikings. I mean, the Minnesota Vikings have the Indianapolis Colts, then they play the Green Bay Packers, and they do get a gimme against the Chicago Bears to end the year. But the fact that Minnesota lost both head-to-head matchups against the Detroit Lions, that kind of X's them out, okay? And again, they have to play the Packers as well. Now, you look at the road for the Packers, which are, I mean, the Packers are rolling right now. Green Bay is a hot team right now. The Packers have actually won three straight games, and they have a pretty easy road until they meet the Detroit Lions in that end-of-year finale. They will play the Chicago Bears this weekend, take on the Minnesota Vikings, and then will culminate with the Lions. The Packers, if they play the type of football that we've seen these last 3 weeks, they will give the Detroit Lions yet another game in which they have them on a run for their money. Because if you remember, the Packers did beat the Lions early on in the season. So that was week three, I believe. And, you know, you look at that Seahawks loss, you know, Detroit now is the number two team in the NFC. We all know who was numero uno, the Dallas Cowboys, that lost to the New York Giants last night on Sunday Night Football. But with the Seahawks loss to the Packers, Detroit is now number two right behind the Cowboys. And if the playoffs were to start today, the Lions would have a first-round playoff bye and would host their very first playoff game dating back to 1993. Folks, that is 23 years. Remarkable stuff. I can't wait to have Justin on because Justin is going to dive into the play of Matthew Stafford. He's going to dive into where Stafford sits on his MVP ballot right now, because Stafford is pretty high up there in my estimation. If you take Matthew Stafford from that team, you better believe the Lions are not leading the NFC North. But a lot of chatter this morning surrounded around Matthew Stafford's throwing hand. You saw what took place yesterday. Matthew Stafford had to change his throwing glove four times. He has a dislocation of dislocation and ligament damage of the middle finger of his throwing hand. So he will wear a glove or a soft splint to stabilize the finger. That's what's being reported right now. And according to many medical officials out there, this type of an injury can alter how strong Matthew Stafford's grip is on the football and also the strength and acceleration of the football when it leaves his hands. And that's something that Matthew Stafford thrives on. He loves to put the extra zip on the football to fit the football through tight windows. And I think we will see Matthew Stafford's numbers affected by this. This is a big injury. Matthew Stafford, who, again, we're talking about his throwing hand here, and has an injury to his middle finger, that you're going to see Matthew Stafford go through some growing pains in these final 3 weeks. But we all know that Matthew Stafford is one tough quarterback, one of the toughest in the league, one of the toughest to ever throw on the Detroit Lions Union and line up behind center. So he's still going to go out there and try and get the job done. But I can see Matthew Stafford relying on guys like Eric Ebron and Golden Tate in short yardage situations, especially Golden Tate, a man who leads the league in yards after catch. So I want to get your thoughts on the Detroit Lions. We'll be taking your calls throughout this entire hour. 517-355-WKAR, 517-355-9527 is the number. Again, you can also go to our Facebook page at facebook.com/currentsports and even tweet us at Al Martin WKAR or at WKAR_sports. Really briefly, before we get to our first three guests of today's Current Sports, I want to get your thoughts. Isaac Constance, our fantastic engineer of WKAR's Current Sports, your thoughts on what the Detroit Lions have been able to put together this season, specifically, you know, winning eight of the last 9 games.
Well, and what I'd look at is not just this season, but last season after starting off the year, 1-7 or whatever it might have been, and the Detroit Lions to finish out the season the way they did, only to carry it on over to this year, I thought was really fantastic. A game against the Bears, too. That was one of those ones where you just have to grind it out. It was not an easy showing. It was a really difficult game for the Lions. And at the end of the day, I thought defense prevailed more so than the offense. One thing that would actually concern me going forward is Matthew Stafford. Of course, he saw his right hand in the glove because of a torn ligament and torn labrum in his finger, I believe. Not labrum, ligament. But yeah, Matthew Stafford, I didn't think he was actually the same after putting the glove on. But that's the thing. This team still found a way to win. The defense was fantastic. And overall, I think the Lions, they really have a good chance. Forget making the playoffs. They will make the playoffs. I am going to say that right now. You can engrave it into stone. Will they get a bye? I think there's a pretty good chance of that, actually. And I would have never predicted that before this season.
These are the Detroit Lions. You know in the back of my head,
yep.
I always give this speech every Monday when we talk about a Detroit Lions win. In the back of my head, I'm saying these are still the Detroit Lions, and I would not be surprised, you know, with, you know, looking at the rest of the schedule for the Lions. I mean, they have to play the New York Giants. Then they play the Dallas Cowboys, then the Green Bay Packers to finish out. That is a tough slate of games. If they just win one of those, Detroit Lions fans should be happy. Will that be enough to pull out the NFC North? That is the question. All right. Well, let's get to our first three guests of today's Current Sports. They have just walked in our Current Sports studios here on the campus of Michigan State University. Well, you guys know the first guest that we're going to have on, D.A. Jones, youth football coach for the Kappa Express in the Lansing Football League. Next to him, we've got two young studs who have been absolutely ripping it up throughout their tenure, balling out in the Lansing Football League. We actually have the first two winners of the D4 Lansing Football League Sports Player of the Year Award, which actually began in November of last year. We do have last year's winner in the house. We've got Carion Gordon, running back for the Lansing Warriors, and this year's winner, who received that bestowed honor this past weekend, Latrell Jones, is also in the house. Latrell balls out for the Lansing area Titans. Fellas, first off, how you guys doing, D.A.? We got Latrell, Carion, how you guys doing?
Good.
I'm doing pretty good. How you doing?
D.A., I want to dive into the history of the D4 Sports Player of the Year Award first, because I was in the house last year for the ceremony, and it's really cool because in a way, and it was fitting that you had this year's award ceremony on the weekend of the Heisman Trophy, because in a way it reminds me a lot of the Heisman Trophy, right? You have the best of the best of a respective sport. In this situation, you football for the Lansing Football League. How did the idea come to mind to put together something like this? And I bet the kids really enjoy it.
Well, the Heisman Trophy award ceremony is exactly how the idea came around. And, you know, the reason why I wanted to do it, though, is because I felt like, as far as the Lansing Football League is concerned, it was losing its luster. And so, you know, we lose kids to other areas. And so it's like, okay, what are some of the things we can do to keep our kids here and to keep them interested in playing football, you know, in the Lansing Football League? And so by having an award such as this one, if you don't play in the Lansing Football League, you won't even be considered. Mm-hmm. And so you do have some athletes that will say, well, I'm better than that kid. Well, come play in the Lansing Football League and we'll see.
Join our league. So it's a good way to recruit in a way, right? Recruit kids. I know you don't want to use that word recruit sometimes when you talk about youth sports. But in a way, it kind of opens other kids' eyes
On the outskirts
you know, maybe I want to join. Right?
You know, and what I like the word retention. So it gives us an opportunity to sort of retain some of our best athletes. So if you want to be considered for this award, don't leave.
Stay here. So throughout the entire year, D.A., I mean, yourself along with every coach, assistant coach, every member of the Lansing Football League, you guys have gotten a chance to watch young men like Carion, young men like Latrell rip it up on the gridiron. Right. How does the voting process work, and what's the committee? Who is the committee composed of?
The committee is composed of 4 people, 3 individuals who actually are not stated, so no one knows who they are, and then myself. And then in terms of the voting is the president of each organization in the league.
Okay.
And so each team gets their vote, including our executive board.
And oh, so, do they? Okay, oh, so yeah. Every team gets to chime
they
in
do.
On this.
They do. And so in terms of the individuals that are looking at the talent, that is not disclosed so that people don't think that someone's either cheating or being biased in terms of who they decide to mm-hmm. put on this panel of six kids.
So how many votes are we talking about?
We're looking at 9 votes total.
9 votes.
And 9 votes.
Are you allowed to release the numbers of how those votes have gone the last 2 years?
Oh, yeah, I am.
Okay.
Oh, yeah.
So when Carrion won last year, that was the first ever award, Lansing Sports Player of the Year award that was mm-hmm. given away. What was the vote count for Carrion?
Last year, Carrion got 7 votes.
7 votes out
7
of the
votes.
9?
Out of the 9.
Wow. That's big. All right, we're going to get to you in just a second. What about Latrell this year?
This year, Latrell got 5 votes.
That's pretty darn good. I mean, anytime you win, it's a good thing. But when you look at the votes, I mean, that's pretty impressive for both of them. Mm-hmm. I want to ask you, Dave, because I'm intrigued every time I have you on as time passes along and the league continues to move along and truck along. Mm-hmm. Is the Lansing Football League growing?
Actually, it is. You know, and it has grown from a team's perspective. So last year we had two of what we call a varsity level, mm-hmm. just 2 teams last year. So we had the Lansing Area Titans and the Cap Express. This year we have 5 of those teams, including the opportunity to play a Grand Rapids team who wants to join in what we're doing. So we reduced our age from 14 under to 13 and under, mm-hmm. and it gave us 5 teams at that level. So every team had at least 5 or 6 teams that played this year.
Oh, that's remarkable. Okay, mm-hmm. so you're starting to see that growth mm-hmm. change and grow, I should say, every single year. All right, mm-hmm. I want to get to Carrion first. Carrion, I was in the house when your name was called by D.A. Jones, and you were named the very first recipient of the Lansing Sports Player of the Year Award. You were a bit nervous. I saw you sitting in the crowd, and your speech, you didn't you know, bring out a notebook and have this huge speech. It was basically, hey, thanks for this award. Let's take some pictures, right? So, Carrion, what was going through your head when you were sitting in that auditorium? Were you a bit nervous before your name was called?
Yeah, I was nervous a little bit.
What does that moment mean to you? Just take me through when you were sitting in those seats.
I was just thinking, like, I don't know. I just didn't know who he's going to call. I was hoping it was going to be me, but it was a lot of other great athletes in there that had the chance to win it. So, yeah.
How good of a chance did you think you had to pull out the award? Did you think you were going to win in relation to the competition you were up against?
Yeah.
Yeah, I love that. Yeah, I love that. That's an honest answer. I love that, Carl. Yeah. Now, why? Why? Why did you think you were going to win that award?
Because I'm not like all the other players. Like, I play different from a lot of people.
In what way?
I look at the game different. So, like, I don't know. I just play different than them.
Nice.
So, the game is different. Like, it means a lot to me.
Without a doubt. And you had a fantastic year last year. And I believe, was Carrion a finalist for this year's award as well?
He was, yeah.
So, back-to-back years where you're at least in the running. That's pretty impressive, Carrion. You got to be pretty proud with yourself, right?
Yeah.
Latrell, I saw you last year. Latrell was in the running for this award last year. Chill, laid back, and you got a chance to see Carrion when his name was called and he went up to the podium to win that award. In what way, Latrell, did seeing Carrion win last year, did that motivate you at all this year?
A little bit.
In what way? In what way?
To work harder in mm-hmm. practice and in the game.
Love that. How close are you guys? I got to know because I want to briefly read the list of last year, D.A., the finalists for the award last year were DeQuarius Jones of the Lansing Warriors, Latrell of the Lansing Titans, Emilio Hernandez of the Kappa Express, Ricky Bell Jr. of the Titans, Shamar Howard of the Kappa Express, and, of course, Carrion. Are you guys, when you look at those names, I'm curious because you guys all play in the league and you guys are all competing throughout the season. What's the camaraderie like? Are you all friends away from the football field? Let's start with Carrion.
Yeah. I'm cool with all of them. Me and Shamar are actually cousins, but the rest of them we're good friends.
So that is it still a competitive nature though, but it's all love when you leave the football field?
It makes it funner.
It does? Yeah. In what way?
Like, we want to kill each other basically. On the field. Off the field we cool, but on the field we just want to kill each other, basically.
I love that. That's how it should be, right? When you're competing, right?
Yeah.
Latrell, for you, are you close with Carrion at all?
No. Really. We used to live right down the street from each other.
Because I know you guys are different age groups, right? And you play for different teams. So that camaraderie varies as the league moves along. I want to ask this question to you guys before we get you out of here. Latrell, who's your favorite NFL player and why? Who do you try to play like?
Cam Newton.
Cam Newton. Why is Cam Newton your favorite? That's a good choice, by the way.
Cause he got speed and he can throw the ball.
There you go. And Latrell, that's right up your alley because you are a quarterback for the Titans, right? What about for you, Carion?
Mine was Cam Newton too.
Really? You guys are both Cam Newton. He's having he's kind of struggling this year, isn't he, Isaac?
Yeah, it hadn't been great. But just remember to wear a tie. I think that's the message at the end of the day, you know?
Yeah, please. Please don't rock Cam Newton style, man, because did you see what he had on yesterday? That was crazy what he had on yesterday, dude. But check it out. It's all over social media. So why do you like Cam Newton, Carion?
I just like the way he plays.
Just like the way he plays?
Yeah.
Love that. DA, you have to have a sense of pride when you evaluate how you've been able to grow this league over time and when you evaluate the impact that you're having on these respective kids' life, because they're not out running the streets and you're teaching them really life lessons through the game of football. How dear is the Lansing Football League to you personally?
Well, for me personally, it's extremely dear to me, and that's what makes it so hard to walk away from coaching. Or just being a part of the league. And so it's just one of those things where it's almost like a parent who has to release their child to go on to college or something like that. You know, it's hard to let go, you know?
Yeah.
And so the league isn't my child, but I look at it in that way. You know, all the kids that I coach, I think of them as my sons, you know? And so anything that I can do for my own children, I look at them in that same way. I would do it for them. And so it's not necessarily a financial thing. It's time. If I need to spend more time with the kids, that's what I'm going to do, and teaching those life lessons and stuff like that. And so it's very, very dear to me, you know. And one of the things that I can say that I'm very happy about is it's finally come to fruition in terms of them having that facility to play at. Mayor Virge Monero has announced that they are going to put into effect that a facility over on the south side of Lansing. And so they were able to get a city block grant to start to erect this facility in the spring of 2017. And so the kids will either play on it in 2017 or 2018. But it's one of those things where it's nice to see that this has been talked about for 15 or 16 years. And finally, it's going to happen for these kids. So they're going to have their home. They're going to be able to host games there, play games at this football field over at Risdale Park.
Okay,
in Lansing, gotcha. Across from the Boys and Girls Club.
Oh, nice. I was about to ask the mm-hmm. location. So this will mm-hmm. be an outdoor football field?
It will be. It'll be a sports facility because I think the other sports will be played there, soccer, whatever. But still, right. it will be a home for our Lansing Football League, you know. And so, again, like I said, it's one of those things that is near and dear. And so I love to see things happen for these kids and things for these kids to be proud of. So.
Yeah. Wow, looking forward to seeing that one. Do you know a timetable when it's supposed to be completed at all?
No? They're going to be two phases.
Okay,
and so the first phase will begin in the spring of 2017, so around April ish, right. And they're going to break ground and start to expand the parking lot and start to reconstruct the turf, the grass. It'll be not artificial. It'll be
Natural grass,
mm-hmm. but I know they're going to get it from somewhere out here in Michigan State, actually.
Oh, wow.
But right. it'll be great natural grass turf. They're going to go in and irrigate the ground underneath to make sure that, you know, it can stand the test of time or whatever. But they're going to have a scoreboard, bleachers, and some things like that. But they'll start phase one in the spring of 2017. And at some point between 2017 and 2019, I want to say, they will begin phase two.
So. That is fantastic. And we actually just did a story via WKAR.org on Amy Foudy, who's the lead turf manager for Michigan State University. And mm-hmm. she talked about how Michigan State just has a great, great program when it mm-hmm. comes to, I don't even know, what's the correct word for that study, that field of study, when you talk about turf, Isaac?
There's grass?
There's a specific word for it. Yeah, maybe. Yeah, grass. Yeah, we're studying grass. Mm-hmm. Now, I don't know what the word is, but yeah, we had Amy on, and she was fantastic. Now, mm-hmm. now D.A., when you look at the Lansing Football League, and you and I have had this conversation before, mm-hmm. a lot of the kids who play for your league go on and end up on local Friday night high school football shows, mm-hmm. balling out for respective high schools mm-hmm. here in mid-Michigan. Mm-hmm. How often do you get a chance to keep in touch with those who are doing great things at the high school level and those who are fortunate to go and play D2, D3, D1 mm-hmm. college football?
Well, you know, for me, one thing I do is on Fridays, we don't even have practice on Fridays so that our kids can actually go and enjoy football on Fridays. But that also gives me an opportunity to go and see the kids that I've coached or the kids that I've had a good relationship with. And so it's been pretty nice the last few years to go and check out these games. So I pick them wisely. I try to pick games where say I had a kid that I coach, he's playing for Sexton, and I have a kid that's playing for East Lansing or something like that. When they play each other, I'll go to that game.
Oh, you know, I love that. Love and that. So you can knock out two birds with one stone.
Exactly,
right?
Exactly. And I try to, you know, send them nuggets here and there, you know, see how they're doing. If I see something written up in the paper about them, I'll, you know, text it to them and say, you know, I saw you in the paper, you know, good job or whatever, you know. So, and then also, you know, I'll Facebook, you know, inbox them or something like that, just see how they're doing. But I definitely keep in touch with the kids. And, oh, go ahead.
No, go ahead. No.
I was about to say, I have other events and things that I do that I try to invite those kids back to talk to the kids, invite them to our practices, invite them to like the combine event, invite the kids back, you know, just to kind of show off their talent, you know. But I spend time making sure that I go back and see those kids.
Who are some of those names? Can you list off a few names?
Oh, for sure. Noah Smith. And not just even kids that I've coached, but just kids in the league. You know, kids definitely. Such as Leslie Buck, Darian Holbrook over at East Lansing, Kobe Hayward. You got Kewan Parker out at Everett. And there's several, you know, Shamar Howard, you know, he actually went up to Everett this past year and started on varsity as a freshman.
Wow.
You know,
impressive.
And so, oh yeah, for sure. You know, so there's plenty of them. You got some linemen that are playing right now, what's his name? Ishmael Kane plays for Everett, you know, keep in touch with that kid. And then also, who am I thinking?
And I'm curious, are there any names that have gone on to play some big time level ball, maybe at a D1 college? I'm curious.
Oh, yeah.
Which ones?
Well, I'll tell you two. Actually, three. One is Ryan Brand. Ryan Brand played quarterback for us a few years back, and he ended up playing over at Air Force last year. He transferred to a school in California this past year. But two kids in particular that did play for Gap Express. Also played here, and that was Bryn Forbes and Denzel Valentine.
I did not know that.
Oh yeah, they played really? There. Oh yeah, they played their little league football here in Lansing, you know, and both played for Cap Express. Bryn was a wide receiver, Denzel was our quarterback, and they played for about 6 years for Cap
Express.
Were
they pretty good?
Oh yeah.
They probably made the right choice going to basketball, right? I mean, you got one with the Spurs, one with the Bulls.
I don't know that I would say that.
Really? Okay.
That team, I don't know if a team in recent history has done as well as they did. They went 6 years undefeated. They won the city championship for 6 years straight, so they were good.
So Bryn and Denzel were pretty stout on the football field. What'd you like about Denzel's game at quarterback?
Well, Denzel was just taller than everybody, man. He just threw the ball over all the kids, man.
Right, you know? He could see over the defense sure.
But he just, you know, the same way he commanded the offense at Michigan State last year, he was that way, you know, as a kid. You know, and I was coaching the younger kids when he was making his way up. And so I got an opportunity to just watch him play all the time, you know. And that same attitude that he had on the basketball court, he was a field journal even on the football field as a kid at 12 years old. So.
And what about Denzel? I mean, Bryn Forbes, excuse me.
He was a receiver, DB.
Pretty good?
Yeah. Oddly enough, he went and got it, man. You know, Denzel, that was one of his targets. You know, he had another guy named Teeny that they played, Martinez, that played with him. They were the wide receivers, man. He would just toss those guys when he got it, man. So.
Now, when it comes to the league, DA, just kind of give us a brief overview of, you know, some of the top tier teams that really dominate every year, because I feel like every year I talk to you, I mean, hey, we won another championship, Al. You know what I mean? The Cap Express has a very storied history when it comes to winning on the football field. What are some other teams as well? And you guys just won, I believe, another championship this year, right?
Yeah, we did. We won at the 7U level, the 11U and 13U level, we won city championships. And then our 11 and under team won a state championship. And, actually, Latrell was one of the reasons why they won that game. He played with them this year on that state championship team. But as far as some of the story teams in our league, the Lansing Warriors is one of the best teams. When you look at historically who's just getting there to those city championships year in and year out, the Warriors have at least two or three teams they're bringing every single year. Cap Express has two or three teams they're putting in it every year. And in fact, when you look on that list of the athletes that are on that panel, the six kids that are on that list, DeQuarius Jones, Latrell Jones, Carion Gordon, Dontell Wright, Ambrose Wilson, and then Carion, I think. Oh, Patrick Ellis is the other one. Mm-hmm. Each of those kids played in the city championship games last year. So all six of those kids played in championship game last year and this year.
Oh, my goodness.
Ironically, you know.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
So for last year, you couldn't say that for those six, but those six kids all played in championships back-to-back. Now, you may not have won it, but they were there.
That's impressive.
Right, and it showed you the caliber of athlete that they are to be able to lead their teams, you know, there. So, but, yeah, as far as units, though, Latrell Jones took his team to undefeated season last year up to a championship game. did it again this year, you know, and, you know, a repeat of who they played last year in the championship games. But
right.
The Lansing Warriors and Cap Express hover around, you know, those championships with multiple teams every year.
Latrell, I want to ask you, my man, with you balling out for the Titans, who do you like playing the most out of all the teams in the league?
Cap.
Why is that?
Because they got more competition to me.
You want
to
knock them off, right? You want to knock off the top dog. I like that. What about you, Carion? With you balling out for the Warriors, who do you like playing the most?
It's out of Kappa and Cowboys.
So Kappa is always in this discussion. Everybody's trying to knock D.A. Jones off. Is that right, D.A.? I tell you, it's been a blast, guys. I want to congratulate you all again in studio. We've been chatting with Carion Gordon, running back for the Lansing Warriors in 2015 D4 Lansing Football League Sports Player of the Year. Latrell Jones, D4 2016 Lansing Football League Sports Player of the Year. He received that honor over the weekend, as well as D.A. Jones, you football coach for the Kappa Express. I thought you guys were going to bring in the trophy. I wanted to see the trophy. It kind of reminds me.
I thought they would. The way he was hugging his trophy last night, man, it was hilarious.
Did you sleep with it, Latrell?
No.
You didn't sleep with it?
No. He was holding like a baby, though. All I had to do was give him a blanket, man.
Right. Well, I tell you what, congratulations to you two. D.A., keep doing what you're doing, man. You are making a profound impact in the community, especially when it comes to these young bucks right here, all right?
All right.
Let's hit our first break. When we come back, we will invite Justin Rogers to the show. Justin Rogers, Detroit Lions beat reporter for the Detroit News. That chat and so much more. Don't go anywhere. You're listening to WKER's Current Sports.
But do you recall the most famous reindeer of all? Rudolph the red-nosed reindeer had a very shiny nose, and if you ever saw it.
From the moment you wake up, through the chaos of your busy morning, Morning Edition is there with you.
Good morning, I'm Steve Inskeep. Protesters have been
through all you have to do, we'll bring you all you need to know every weekday on Morning Edition from NPR News.
The morning's news between 5 and 9 on 90.5 WKAR.
The BBC World Service.
You're listening to the newsroom.
This is Cliff.
Welcome to Assignment.
Welcome to From Our Own Correspondent.
Hello and welcome to Global Business.
Welcome to Hard Talk.
Welcome to The Wire.
This is Science and Action.
Welcome to More or Less.
Welcome to Outlook.
It's time for Witness.
Hello and welcome along to The Arts Hour.
Great to have you on World Have Your Say.
Welcome to Sport Today.
BBC News.
The World Service from the BBC.
The BBC on AM 870 WKAR.
Welcome back to WKAR's Current Sports. I am your host, Al Martin. Was that great or what? D.A. Jones, you football coach for the Kappa Express, which are a part of course, the Lansing Football League. And we had the winners of the last 2 years, D4 Lansing Football League Sports Player of the Year Award in Carion Gordon, as well as Latrell Jones. All right, well, let's get to our next guest for today's Current Sports. We started the show at the top of the hour talking about the Detroit Lions, who are on a complete roll right now. The latest win coming against the Chicago Bears at Ford Field yesterday afternoon. The Detroit Lions have now won 5 straight, 8 of the last 9, sitting at numero uno in the NFC North, 2 games ahead of the Minnesota Vikings and the Green Bay Packers. Right now, to go more in depth on the success of the Lions this year, we have on our phone lines Justin Rogers, Detroit Lions beat reporter for the Detroit News. Justin, my man, thanks so much for coming on today.
Hey, no problem. Thanks for having me.
Justin, how concerned do you think Lions fans should be in regards to the throwing hand of Matthew Stafford? Because that seems to be the big chatter coming off that Detroit Lions win.
Yeah, no, it certainly merits concern. I mean, Matthew Stafford has carried this team like a backpack at certain stretches of the season. And so now you're talking about the most important part of his body, that throwing hand, the middle finger, one of the last fingers to touch the football. And so they've got 3 tough opponents coming up, and the next one is particularly difficult because it's not just a road game. It's a road game in inclement weather. It's going to be cold. is probably going to be some precipitation in the forecast, whether it's rain or snow. And so now that grip becomes even more important. And you saw yesterday it affected him, affected his accuracy, it affected the velocity. And so, you know, he's got to make sure to be a little bit tighter with his decision-making and, you know, not try to force it in some of those tight windows that he's capable of doing when he's healthy and normal.
Now, how did that injury happen, Justin?
So there was a play at the very end of the first quarter. It was the intentional grounding play for the people that were watching at home. And what happened was it was a broken play. You know, some players got the wrong signal or check at the line, and so whatever was supposed to happen didn't happen. You could tell right away. And so Stafford tried to just throw the ball away. And as he was throwing away on the follow-through, his fingers connected with the hand and the arm of an oncoming pass rusher. And just, you know, when two grown men are moving at full speed and you smash body parts, there's you know, injuries are bound to happen.
Matthew Stafford, 21 of 35 for 223 yards. Through two interceptions, both coming in the fourth quarter. When it comes to Matthew Stafford, though, you mentioned, Justin, how he's carried this team like a backpack, and that's a very good, very, very good way to put that in perspective, because without Matthew Stafford, this Detroit Lions team does not lead the NFC North in my eyes. Where would you rank Stafford when it comes to your MVP ballot? Because the chatter has ramped up yet again for Matthew Stafford to possibly win that award at the end of the year.
Yeah, I mean, he's in the conversation. You know, I don't have an exact ballot. You know, I probably had Derek Carr on it at the very top before he laid a egg there in Kansas City the last week. You know, Stafford's in a group of three or four guys. He's in the conversation. You got the two kids in Dallas, more so Elliott, I think, than Prescott. Mm-hmm. You've got Matt Ryan, who's had a phenomenal season as well with the number one ranked offense with a team that's also leading their division in the Falcons. And then you just can never count out Tom Brady. I know he was suspended the first four games, but he's been incredible since he's been back. And, you know, the Patriots are looking like they're well on their way to the one seed in the AFC once again.
The Lions set a team record, or I should say an NFL record, for most fourth quarter comebacks in a season with the win over Chicago yesterday, Justin. 8 on the year. What is it about the pressure in the final stanza that allows this team to somehow find a way, because they've been so resilient throughout this year?
Yeah, I mean, it starts at the top and it trickles down. You know, the two people that exude that calmness that you need in that storm are Jim Caldwell and Matthew Stafford. Listen, I mean, we talk all the time about Caldwell's emotional even-keeledness, but that is really true. He never wants those guys getting too high or too low during the week, after a win, after a loss. It's same emotional state at all times. And he preaches out the players, and he also coaches that into the players with late-game scenarios. He puts them in really difficult, real-life scenarios in practice every single week to get them mentally prepared for the chaos and the pressure that you experience in those four-minute drives, those two-minute drives at the end of the game while trailing. And Stafford's done it his entire career. He's always, you know, whatever his flaws may have been early in his career, whether it was accuracy or decision-making, when it came to clutch, when it came to delivering in a close game situation late in that game, Stafford's always been above average in those situations. And this year, more often than not, when you put the ball in his hands and you need a touchdown or you need a field goal in the final 5 minutes, he's got it done, I think, all but one time this season. And that was the Tennessee game where he was intercepted there at the end.
Yes, absolutely mind-blowing. If you're just now joining us here on WKAR's Current Sports, we are chatting with Justin Rogers, Detroit Lions beat reporter for the Detroit News. You can follow him via Twitter at Justin_Rogers. Now, I want to talk about the run game briefly here, Justin. We've been constantly criticizing the inconsistency of the run game for the Lions. You know, we saw Dwayne Washington, Zach Zinner, able to do some good things on the ground. I want to know, I believe Caldwell did make a statement or had his presser earlier today. Did he address the health of guys like Theo Riddick or Amir Abdullah? And why has that area been so up and down?
Well, you know Jim Caldwell, you know, he did very little to address any health issues. But, the depth there is very concerning right now. You know, they went into that game yesterday with three backs, Dwayne Washington, Zach Zinner, and the returning Joique Bell, and they left with one guy that was healthy. Dwayne Washington's been battling injuries all year, mostly ankle issues. Zach Zenner suffered a concussion with brain injuries. You just never know. The healing process could be a week, could be six. You know, you just don't know with the severity of those injuries. And, you know, I think the biggest problem for the Lions in the run game is they just don't have one complete back. You know, Theo Riddick is an exceptional pass catcher out of the backfield, but he's just not built to run the ball consistently. You know, Amir Abdullah probably is the closest thing, but he's been out for now, 13 weeks with a broken foot. We just don't know what the status of that is. And, I don't expect him back anytime in the immediate future. Mm-hmm. He had a recheck recently, was still in a boot. I think there's still a slim rate. I hope they get him back, but it's still a long shot. And then Dwayne Washington has the build. He has the physical tool set to be a very good running back in this league. He just doesn't have the vision. He doesn't have the patience yet. You know, some of that's being a rookie. Some of that's being inexperienced. If you look at his college track record, he didn't carry it a whole lot throughout college. He was a converted wide receiver. So, you know, he's still developing in that area. He had his best game yesterday, but, you know, that ankle injury still nagged him. And when they really could use him at full strength, he's just not there right now.
And the defense, Justin, 7 consecutive games, holding an opponent to 20 points or less. How has Terrell Austin been able to keep this defense together despite the injury bug?
Yeah, I think that's been the big thing with this stretch is he's gotten a lot of those guys back. You know, you look early in the season, you take away a piece like DeAndre Levy, which you expect to have, and it's happened to Terrell Austin twice in the last 2 years. You expect to have him going into the season. You build a defense around this Pro Bowl caliber linebacker, and then he's snatched away from you either right before the season starts or early in the season. You've got to adjust with inferior talent. And the Lions took a lot of hits at the linebacker position this year. They lost Jonathan Bostic in training camp. They lost Josh Bynes in training camp, although Bynes is back now. And you take away Levy. Now you've taken away 3 of your top 4 linebackers. What a mess. They lost Haloti Ngata and Ezekiel Ansah for multiple game stretches this season. They lost Darius Slay for 2 games. And it was just, they were just a beat-up unit with missing their top players. Slay is back now. Ngata's back well and playing really well. Ansah's been up and down, but it's been more up than down despite the lack of sacks. He's getting a lot more pressure, and you add all these pieces back together. Even Levy's back now, although it's really a small role to start. But you get all these pieces back together, and all the guys that came in and filled in for those guys during that time, they got a little bit of experience. They've moved back in the rotation, but now they're coming in, and they're more experienced. They're more just in better position to make plays because they've gone through it so many times. So your depth is better, your starters are back, and I think that's why the defense is really coming together here in the second half of the season.
Yeah, and you mentioned Ziggy Ansah, Justin, and I was watching the game yesterday. He has what is being called as a shoulder injury. That took place in the second quarter of Sunday's game, and I saw Ziggy go to the sidelines and took his helmet off and slams it on the ground, and he goes to the locker room. And I'm wondering, is there an update on Ziggy? Where's his health at?
He did come back and he finished the game. He came back late in the fourth quarter. He actually drew one of those important holding calls at the end of the game that saved the game for the Lions. Mm-hmm. But shoulder injuries are tricky. You know, they linger. He had one coming out in the draft that he had to get addressed after his rookie season surgically. You know, I don't know if it's the same shoulder. I haven't gone back through the film and figured out the exact play in the moment that it happened. But he's also dealt with a high ankle sprain this year. It's been a very, very trying, frustrating season for Ansah, who came in after last year's 14.5 sack campaign with sky-high expectations, and understandably so. You know, it looked like this guy was on the cusp of being one of the 5 best superstar defenders in the NFL. And you look now and you see this goose egg in the sack column, and it's hard to wrap your head around. And like I said, he's making plays, and he's creating stuff for other players. But listen, there's guys like Khalil Mack and J.J. Watt that everybody knows who they are. They're circled by every offensive coordinator, and they still overcome and make plays. And Ansah hasn't been able to do that this year, in part because of injuries. But, they need more out of him, particularly down the stretch. So hopefully the shoulder injury is not too serious.
Yeah, only time will tell. All right, Justin, before we get you out of here, last question for you. The Detroit Lions have coming up, the New York Giants and the Dallas Cowboys, 2 teams we saw highlighted on Sunday Night Football last night. Then they finish out the year at home against the Green Bay Packers. What are the chances that the Lions win the NFC North? How confident do you feel in saying that they will pull out that division?
Yeah, I don't feel as good about it as I did before Matthew Stafford suffered the hand injury, but, you know, it's it's still like everything has to go perfect for the Lions, two opponents in the division, and everything has to go to hell for the Lions. So I still would say that there's a good 75-80% chance that they finish out and win the division.
Justin Rogers, Detroit Lions beat reporter for the Detroit News. You can follow him via Twitter at Justin_Rogers. He does a fantastic job. Justin, thanks so much for your time, my man. Appreciate it.
Anytime. Thanks for having me.
All right, we have 5 minutes left in the show. We are taking your calls, 517-355-WKAR, 517-355-9527. Let's go to line one right now. We've got Ray from Indiana that wants to chime in. Ray, welcome to the show. How you doing?
Skipper, did you have a good weekend?
I had a great weekend. I worked on Saturday, the MSU men's basketball game, and I spent every hour on the hour inside of my apartment watching sports all day on Sunday. So it was good. How about you?
Did you know who I watched Saturday night?
Who's that?
The Bullies. They played at UCLA.
They did. I saw that game. Yeah. Yep.
They got the hell beat out of them.
Well, I tell you what, they were competitive. Because don't forget, I mean, they were competitive heading into halftime. I was very shocked looking at how close that game was in the first half.
Well, I know, but Johnny and his coaching, stealing my chocolates and hail the victor's ink pens, he came through like he always does. They're going nowhere. You know, I haven't been on talk to you. You know who I sent a Christmas card out to today?
Well, who's that?
You.
Oh, my goodness. I am looking forward to seeing that in my mailbox this week. Really appreciate
all right,
that,
well,
Ray.
Look for it Wednesday or Thursday. It's a beautiful card. I think you'll enjoy it. And I sent one to all the Bullies, too, and they got it Friday. But none of the Bullies called me. I knew they wouldn't. They don't have any courage or guts to stand up and talk.
Well, I'll tell you what. I'm pretty sure they will love to see a Christmas card from Ray from Indiana in that mailbox this week, Ray.
I sent one to Highball. I sent one to Beeline. I sent one to all the new athletic director. You know, we went through like four athletic directors now, four football coaches. In the crybaby gym, we ain't had a chance to talk since that first down that he said was way short. How the hell would he know when he's sitting way over there? He's got 50 players around him that he says, oh, he was at least a foot short.
Ray from Indiana. I tell you, it's one of a kind. Ray.
They are nothing but crybaby.
Ray, you told me that you sent a Christmas card to Jim Harbaugh. I'm curious, what does that card say?
It just says, humble yourselves, and I'm waiting on your phone call.
Ray
humble
from Indiana.
Yourself. Every one of them, they're bullies. They need to humble themselves before they've had 55 losses in 10 years. Maybe they're going to have 55 more losses before they humble themselves.
Ray, appreciate the call.
I'll be there every Christmas to send him a Christmas card, just like I will you, my partner. You'll be getting it. Look for Wednesday and Thursday.
All right. I'll be looking for that, Ray.
God bless you, buddy.
You got it, man. Take care.
I pray for your family. You pray for mine.
You got it. Ray is one of the most dynamic callers in the history of sports talk shows, Isaac. He always finds a way to take a jab at what he dubs as the Bullies. U of M out in Ann Arbor.
Humble yourself.
Yeah. Send a Christmas card. That takes some guts. That takes you humbling yourself to send a Christmas card to someone that you're not very fond of, doesn't it, Isaac?
It does, and especially when that message is so resounding and so powerful, such as
you can humble yourself.
I love it. Love it.
All right, let's close out the show here. Less than 2 minutes left. Weekend winners.
This is what's great about sports. This is what the greatest thing about sports is. You play to win the game. Hello? You play to win the game. You don't play to just play it. That's the great thing about sports. You're the best around. Nothing's gonna ever keep you down. You're the best around. And nothing's gonna ever keep you down. You're the best around.
All right, Isaac, I've got two weekend winners and one big loser. First, got to give a big shout-out to the Detroit Lions. They've been the theme of the show today. The Detroit Lions, five straight wins, still holding down that lead in the NFC North. Congratulations to them. The MSU men's basketball team for winning now three straight games. They didn't have Matt McQuaid against Tennessee Tech. Matt McQuaid, it looks as though he's going through a head injury. He should be back for the Northeastern game this weekend. But good to see Michigan State just string together three wins after going through the month of November that they went through. And one weekend loser,
my Detroit Pistons. You cannot lay that type of an egg against arguably the worst NBA franchise in the league right now. I was so ticked off seeing that. That's all I got, man.
I can believe that. Weekend winner for me. Lamar Jackson, how can you not? Well deserved,
of course,
my friend.
Right.
Good job winning the Heisman. Although, a cautionary tale, stay away from Johnny Manziel. Not sure if you saw that.
We'll dive into that on tomorrow's show. I got something to say about that. Take care, folks. You've been listening to WKAR AM 870 East Lansing. We'll be back at it on tomorrow's show. Don't go anywhere, folks. Great week.